I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, cool dudes. Welcome to another episode. This week, I speak to Ben Adams about making shorts and just what it's like being an actor and working in the industry. What's happening with your film, Marek? Well, currently, I've raised £710. Thank you very much, everyone who's donated. I've started actually making the film. I mean, it's going to be a very, very low budget affair. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to marekliwell.com/Marek Makes a Movie and click on the blog link and you can find out what I'm doing with the filming. And if you want to donate, it would be very helpful. As from today, anyone who donates a pound will receive an internet link to the film when it's made. If you donate £5 or more, I'll send you a really nice badge you can put straight in the bin. And also, Ben, who features in this podcast, is making a film which he is looking for funding through Indiegogo. If you go to the Facebook page and on the Twitter at Marek Makes a Movie or Marek's Movie, whatever it is, you can find out about it there. And in a few weeks, I might do a Q&A. If you have any questions at all for this podcast, why not email marekmakesamovie@gmail.com. That's all the admin out of the way. Let's get on with the business. All right, good luck out there. I'm here at Ben Adams' house, and he's another member of Broken Toaster, who I interviewed one of them a couple of podcasts ago, David. And Ben is now making his own films with Drew from Broken Toaster, and we're just going to talk about what it's like making short films. So when you're making stuff, first of all, I want to talk about Kickstarter, because I spoke to Seldom Differ, and they hit their Kickstarter fee of $15,000.
And we didn't.
And I was in your Broken Toaster Kickstarter pilot, which I thought was brilliant, and you didn't make it, and really surprised me.
Yeah.
And what did you learn from that? So if people, if they're filmmakers into this thinking, all right, we're going to raise money, and what would you do differently, and what are you doing with your next project?
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, I mean, I think we were very naive when it came to Kickstarter. I think we kind of, we had heard the word Kickstarter bounded around, and people had said, oh, I'd raise this money on Kickstarter. And at the time, I was looking into Patreon and Indiegogo and thinking maybe these would be better because you get to keep the money. And but anyway, we all decided that Kickstarter would be the way to go. And I just think we were naive. We didn't look into it maybe. We were so focused on making that short. That was like the Kickstarter video that you were in. Mm. We were so focused on that and getting that right. And then the scripts for the actual show. And just, it's same with, I do this with everything. I just focus on the creative side. Don't take too much notice of the admin, of the writing up of the Kickstarter, the, you know, what to put, the put in places of where to share it and speak to online news magazines and things. So now I'm making sure I've got that in place. I know that when I launch it, all that's going to, it's all planned, it's all sorted.
that's the thing with this industry. If you're creative and you start in it, you don't realise you need to be a business man as well.
Oh God, I never knew that. I was always kind of like, I love playing, I love prattling around, I love writing, but you're never going to get anywhere unless you know what to do, yeah, business wise. So, I still don't, so I'm working on it.
So your next project,
yes,
you're doing a short called The Candy Man.
No,
The Candy.
So we did a short with Broken Toaster called Breakfast with Candy, mm-hmm. about a guy who has an abusive relationship with a puppet. She beats him up and stuff. And then he ends up beating her up. It's very complex for a puppet film. So we decided, me and Drew have decided that we're going to make a sequel to that. And so we're doing Lunch with Candy and then hopefully Dinner with Candy and make it a nice little trilogy of short films. And then maybe go on and do more puppet stuff. I'm not sure.
And so how are you approaching that? Differently, you're going to try and raise money for...
Well, the candy we're doing exactly how we do everything. We write it, get the props, get the locations, bang, film it. But with Santa, I mean, I'm doing a
I'm just gonna say
no, it's called Next Christmas, and it's a that's like a short film I want to do that I want to enter into festivals, and that's what I'm raising money for and trying to do properly, paying people, getting the right crew, everything like that.
And how much of you, if you don't mind talking about the business side of things,
yeah.
what's the plan for that then?
The plan is to, well, so I've got Daz Black in it who's playing Santa. He's quite big online, he's got a lot of followers and everything. And basically there is no plan, is what I'm trying to say. There's no plan. No, I want to film it and I want to just, all I know is once it's done, I can work on that, if that makes sense. The way I'm working at the moment is okay, so I'll get the script done, right? That's done. Get the Indiegogo sorted.
You're going Indiegogo because you get to keep the money?
Yes, yeah, because you get to keep anything you've raised. So then, and I've never directed before, I'm not very technical minded, so my next challenge is storyboarding, getting everything I want in the film on video, and then after that, edit it, and then after that, I can think. At the moment, I know I'm going to enter into film festivals. I'm going to ship it around. I've got people that I know that I can talk to and send it to. But that's kind of in the future at the moment. I'm a one-man band, so yeah, that's my plan, is just to keep going and going and going. Because I find that if you get too like caught up in the future of where it's going to go,
mm-hmm.
you can almost talk yourself out of doing it.
I find there are loads of ideas where you get an idea. You get excited about the idea, yeah. and you almost put out, you imagine, fantasize about making the film, fantasize about it being a success.
And then you think, oh, the sequel could be this.
Yeah, and you've gone through the whole experience before you've actually ever done anything.
Yeah.
In reality, the experience is never that much.
No. No. When we did Broken Toaster, every single thing we did was like, this is going to be the one. This is going to be the one now. After this, we're never going to have to worry again. And the one never came. Never came.
And it's a real surprise. I mean, I talk about my favourite online sketch people on this quite a lot, which is you and Seldom Differ. And Broken Toaster made some brilliant stuff.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I thought we did.
Why do you think, it must be incredibly frustrating for you,
yeah.
that it didn't catch on?
I just don't know. I think it's confusing to people. I think nowadays... I hope it's changing, but someone said the other day, someone said, Ben, the first rule of comedy, people should know if you're trying to be funny or not. And I was like, well, one, I don't agree with that, but that's kind of my problem, I think, is that people don't know how to take it. They're kind of like, is this a comedy? Is this not? Is this... But I think it's fairly obvious that we're going for comedy.
I think it's obvious, but I think maybe people are quite mainstream.
Yes, yeah.
And I think in the comedy industry, especially the stuff that gets on television, apart from like Vic and Bob,
who go
weird and stupid.
Oh yeah, but I don't think a lot of comedians, they wouldn't get anywhere now though. Yeah, if they first came out.
A lot of comedians are the most mainstream people that are accessible. And not sort of people will be offended by them, whatever.
Well, the main thing now is just people like to laugh at themselves, so that's what sells, I suppose. That's what people like. They go, oh, we've all got that shirt that the wife doesn't like, but we wear it anyway. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's like me.
What do you when you go about writing things? Then, so what's your process?
So characters first. I always go for characters first. So regardless of like, well, first of all, think of a. I think of a situation that, in any sort of way, so I'll be like, okay, this candy one is because my sister, I was thinking about my sister a lot, and she was in an abusive relationship.
So can we get, so you've got Candy, the two puppets.
Yes, films, sorry, that's the...
And Santa is...
The Next Christmas.
Is another separate film.
That's a separate film that is about a Santa Claus being tortured and having his like legs cut off.
So you're going to make these Candy films are just for your YouTube
The Candy
channel.
Film's just for YouTube, yeah. That's just for YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and all that. So that's... Yeah, I think we're filming that 7th of August, something like that. So that won't be too bad. But the Next Christmas film is the one, is the big one. So I'm filming that in September for over 4 days in my mum and dad's house.
And that is what happens with low-budget filmmaking.
Yeah.
Is a lot of stuff gets filmed around your mum and dad's house. And there was a day when people our age could afford our own houses, but that's gone.
We used to be able to afford to rent out houses to pay to play in. But
now it's, what can I use... Yeah. For the film making with this, which people have been donating towards, I haven't got enough money, so I'm thinking, what locations can I use? My mum's house, these places in the Isle of Wight, the woods. These are my locations. There's one place I need to hire a DIY shop, and I don't know how to get that and tell them that I'm going to use. I spoke about it in the last episode. Can I use your shop? It's for someone to buy weapons to cut off, bits to cut a body with.
I'm sure that'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, you can just ask them. They'll be okay. They'll probably be quite excited on the Isle of Wight.
You know, it's in London.
Oh no, they won't let you do it.
No.
No way. No way.
Lovely, friendly London.
What do you want? What am I getting out of it? Nothing. Fuck off.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So you get, well, the characters first, come up with the idea.
Well, the idea can come from, so like I say with Candy, I was thinking about my sister and her abusive relationship.
Yeah.
So I always think, okay, and then I look into my own life, abusive relationships and blah, blah, blah. And I think of like a simple thing of like with this new Candy, okay, he's meeting up with this girl that he was like madly in love with and she was abusive to him and had him under her spell sort of thing. Meets up with her years later. Started off with that and then suddenly you just have these characters meeting up. And then I'm writing the dialogue. It always comes with a dialogue. So it's boom, boom, boom. And I end up writing pages and pages of dialogue. But then with that, I don't know. I find that by that point, I know the characters so well that when I put a situation in, I know exactly how they react to it. So I can, it just goes along from there.
So do you just have the massive scripts where you edit it a lot in post?
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Okay. Well, I go through it first, like what we always did in Broken Toaster. I go put up the plot points. So this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens, like... and then I'll go through and add all the... That's when it gets huge, because I just write dialogue. I love dialogue. I'm obsessed with it.
And do your stuff's quite dark. Why is that?
I'm just a very dark person. I've always found it fun. It's weird, when I did stand-up, like, I was saying this to my friend the other day, like, the reason why it didn't necessarily work is because... So like Frankie Boyle or Anthony Jeselnik, they do really dark, offensive stuff, but they do it as a prick. So like, I'm an arsehole, these are my jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I would always be like, hey, I'm a friendly guy and everyone loves me, and then come out with some horrendous stuff. Because I'd always try and play like how ridiculous everything is. So for me, when like if a guy gets his throat cut and there's blood squirting everywhere and it goes on a little bit too long, I'll laugh. So... Yeah, I don't know where it comes from. I'm just a sick bastard.
Do you think as you get older, you get less dark?
No, I'd say no. I get less dark in the sense of gore and sort of like offensiveness.
Yeah.
Like balls out offensiveness. But I get a lot more darker in terms of like, oh my God, you know, like really nihilistic now.
Yeah.
Like, life is meaningless.
I haven't spoken about this much, but it's quite difficult being creative.
Mm.
And because you're an actor and you sort of, that's your sole income. Do you still enjoy doing it, or why do you do it?
I do enjoy doing it when you get the right job, but then there's other jobs where it's... you get the phone call and they say you got the job, you go yes, and you immediately go, right, that's £400-£500 I could put here. And then for me, I'm like, oh shit, now I've got to do the actual job. And it might be awful, and you might have to stand there all day and say all this shit, and you think, oh Christ. So it's just a job at that point. But
the adverts and stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, there. Yeah. But when it's like a something I can put my own spin on, then I love it. Every second is great fun, and I'm happy with it. I can't stand people that are... I'm never spot on the lines. I'm always kind of going off and doing my own thing. But motivation-wise, I think it's just all I've ever known, all I've ever wanted to do, and all I'm good at, really.
Stuck. Trapped in the abyss.
Yeah.
Of acting.
Exactly. You just think, God, what am I going to do? Like, there's nothing else I'm good at. And my mum and dad literally said the other day, they were like, our dad knows someone, you can hold a sign that says stop and go for 120 quid a day.
Wow.
I was like, you kidding me? Jesus. That's how bad it's got.
My parents always want me to get a proper job until I was in a sketch group called We Are Clang. And this is back in 2006. So we'd already done quite well in Edinburgh. Yeah. And then, or maybe 2007. So we're quite established. And then they were saying, you know, it's just a phase.
Right.
And it was when we did a show at the Soho Theatre and Harry Enfield came along. And he was one of my massive heroes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he came up to me at the same show my parents were at. And he goes, oh, I just want to say hello to you. How you doing?
That's really
and
cool.
And I went, oh, great. Can I get you a drink? So rather than chat to him, the first thing I said, because I was so nervous. So I was so nervous, was can I get you a drink? So he went, yeah, yeah, I'll have this. So I literally went, oh, what have I done? So I had to go to the bar. And it was long, it was one of those things where it was almost like a comical joke where I'm not getting served and it's taking ages. And I can see how Enfield is stuck talking to my mum.
Oh, I love that bit you used to do.
I can see him looking more and more sort of bored. And her just talking and thinking, oh, shit. One of my heroes.
Yeah.
So I spoke to him for about 30 seconds afterwards I got him a drink. But the good upshot was that because he'd been seeing the show and really liked it, he suddenly persuaded my parents that I could have a career. So all that hassle of, maybe you should think about...
That's amazing.
But that lasted 10 years. And then a couple of years ago, when things were quiet, that came back into it.
Right.
Again, maybe you should think about getting... Because it's almost like the dark side of your... the reality of your own brain saying it. So you really hate
it. You really know it because you're like, oh my God, like they're totally right. I should get a normal job. What am I doing? Because you can't justify it to yourself. You can't say, I mean, there's some people that will. That'll be like, I mean, acting is one of the hardest jobs in the world. And it's like, well, it's not for me because I love doing it. It's the same with anyone if they love doing it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what my point was, but I just...
I know when people listen to that, they'll find it very, very interesting. The dark soul of the actors. It's time for a little break, just to have a relax.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
let's get back to it.
So what's a dream then? What would you like if everything went sort of perfectly?
Just TV, like a sitcom. Not even a sitcom. Well, Tales from the Edge, like what we're going to do. That was our dream. That was what I wanted. And I've had to change my dream. That's why this last year has been a bit tough for me, I think. Because I haven't had that focus. And I've had to give myself the focus. So, yeah, I'm still getting through it. Still trying to... The dream, though, is... It changes all the time. Sometimes I want to just make Lego. Sometimes I want to do stop motion. Sometimes I want to be a voiceover artist. Sometimes... Every dream I have, though, is just as, like, unattainable as the last.
Yeah.
I never go, I just want to be a plumber. I'd love to be a plumber.
I wonder if someone's happy being a plumber, thinking, actually, I want to be a plumber. And they're there fixing people's toilets, thinking, living the dream.
Yeah.
And also, they're rich as well.
Of course, yeah, a lot of money in plumbing.
That's it. If plumbing had the same glamour, if only I was interested in plumbing.
Yeah.
That's like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, but changing it for
plumbing. Instead of making it,
about love, making it about getting it. Being interested in a well-paid, electrician, plumbing, what else?
Welding. I'd like to, can you turn me into a welder? You just wake up, you go, how are you, sir? Oh, I'm absolutely fine, but can you tell me where the nearest welder shop is?
Something that's always worked, like putting the paint, painting double yellow lines.
Yeah.
Or doing the slope, I always wonder, people who paint their road markings, if there's a specialist one that comes in to do like the words, like the bust,
we need to get John in for this one.
You can do the line, you can't do the bus stop or slow or
taxi.
Yeah, or the yellow grid. You can't stop in. That's not. You can't do
once
that.
Once you've been here 10 years, son, you can upgrade to a double red.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be a nice change.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, I watched The Undateables, and there was a guy on there. I think he's autistic or something, but he's a postman. And you've never seen anyone so happy to be a postman in their life. It's so happy, and I just feel so jealous.
Yeah. I know what you mean, really. It's like dogs, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you see them excited about a stick or a ball.
That's all they want, and they're just like...
No matter how many times they throw that ball,
no.
It's still absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I get very jealous.
And what do you... what sort of... films do you watch that you love, you think you could aspire to sort of make?
I mean, I love Tarantino. I love him. I watched Hateful Eight again recently, and I just think it's so good. I just think it's unbelievable. I love everything about him. It's just, it's like, I can't explain it. I didn't study. I'm not like one of these people that can go into things about why films are great and why this and the cinematography is all great. I just, for me, it's the writing. And like Hateful Eight's a perfect example. It's like a play, and it's just beautiful. It's so different to his other films that are mainly about revenge. And if I can see something, even if it's not there, if I can see something below the surface, I'm happy. But even if it's not there, like Spider-Man 2 is one of my favourite films ever. And I love it because it's about something ridiculous, but there's real heart to the story. And I think that's what I do, just summed it up, just had an epiphany.
Got you
I
pulled that round.
Yeah.
Lovely, mate.
That's exactly what I do. I take something ridiculous and bring it back home.
So your Santa film, which is the main short you're making, you're going to put that on Indiegogo.
Yes.
And then you're going to get a crew in to... And you're going to direct that.
I've got the crew. I've got everyone. I just need to... I want to pay them. And some of them won't do it if they won't get paid. So then I'll have a crappy crew. I don't want like my mum holding the boom, but just have to see how much money we get. But basically, I think I can do it on half the money I want. But like I've said in the Indiegogo, it's just basically the more money I get, the better it's going to be. So even if we get hardly any money, I'm still going to make it, but it's not going to look or sound as nice as it would be.
Yeah, I think that's been the problem with this film. Although the people who've donated, it's absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
But I hope to get more. Then suddenly, when you've got, think, oh, I've actually got to make a film, and you've got to just do it for nothing, really. It's quite hard. Rely on favours.
The worst thing is coming up with, I do this with Drew all the time, I'm sure you do it. You come up with ideas for sketches or something, and you just think, but there's no conceivable way I can pull that off. Like, we do stuff with green screen, and I'm not that happy with it, but at least it enables us to do things out of our like flat and the field and the woods, like you say. But sometimes you just think, God, I wish we could just go, oh, I need a big robot suit made, or make me a big castle.
Just even the smallest props is what I found. I got these prosthetic thumb made for 100 quid, which is brilliant. But even things like, I think I need a baseball bat for the murder weapon. And then the cheapest one you could find is 15 quid. Really? You know, I need a trowel. I need this sort of stuff for fake blood.
Wheelchairs are hard. We had a nightmare trying to get a wheelchair. And now I've got to get another one for this. But I think my mum's phoning up the hospital and saying, oh, my grandma's, she can't walk. Can we have a wheelchair for a bit?
I mean, realistically, NHS should provide that, really.
Fulfillment. I think so, really. What are we trying to save it for, if not?
But that's what's happened. I think our generation of creative talent have got access to great cameras, but all the sets are parents' houses or or the woods.
Yeah, because when you go online, if you apply to film somewhere, they like triple the price. You can't, if you, some places you go and it's like, oh, £100 a night, and then you say, oh, we're filming there, and they go, that's £500 a day.
Yeah,
it's madness. Like that library, we got a great deal in that library with you.
This is I'll put a link to some of Ben's stuff, which is a library in Aberystwyth.
Yeah, it was in university, Wales,
which looks amazing.
It was good. I don't know why we had to go all the way to Wales.
But it was 100 quid or something?
Yeah, it was really cheap.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But you can't... That sort of... That is incredible.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, for £100.
I did a student film. Literally, my very first thing was 2002. So I hadn't been in London that long. And they got to film in the underground, which is the Strand, as a disused underground station, which they film lots of things in. And because they were students, they got it for 50 quid. But if you were filming, you said it's like £5,000. And so it just looks incredible because you can film down there. But what was amazing was when you go there, you can see where all the film crews have been there. So, for example, so you're walking down underground, and one bit's done with modern posters, one side of the wall, one bit sort of disused, then another bit's got posters from sort of the 80s or something. You know, so where different film sets have gone, we're filming this bit here, but we only need to redecorate this bit here.
That's crazy.
So it's a really odd place to go. But the Tube, something like American Werewolf in London, they filmed that there, the brilliant scene, you know, where he chases the werewolf.
He's on his own.
The lighting's brilliant, isn't it?
It's so good. And what's that film, Creep? Have you seen Creep?
No.
That's like a monster in the underground. Yes, it's great, the underground. I want to film, like, whenever I think, oh, even something simple as that, even if you think you're writing a script, and then you go, oh, he's on the train and he's doing this. But then suddenly you think, fuck, how am I going to film on a train? I think me and Dave filmed part of a film we did, A Lonely Man. We had to film it on a bus. And it was literally like we just sat on a bus. He had to quickly pull the camera out. We're filming for a second and then put it away.
I watched it one the other day.
Oh, right.
You're on the top deck. And there's a girl in the background behind you. Was she not?
A nutcase. She was going...
She had a headphone that was moving around.
It was funny.
But that's the beauty is now is you can film. That's what I'm filming on. I bought myself a camera. This GH5 camera to film on. So it's just... You can just film, you know, surreptitiously, whatever the word is, without people stopping you, which you couldn't other cameras. You know, you can film stuff
with
a real skeleton crew.
Yeah, that's true.
It's difficult. So where can we find out all your details and all your other all business?
I'm on Facebook, Ben Adams Comedy. That's got all my, all the shorts I've done, all the sketches, and all the news from the Indiegogo. Instagram is probably a good one as well, Ben Adams Man.
And how do you find this new Instagram TV?
IGTV. I'm not getting like loads of views, but I like that they're all there, that you can just swipe across, and it's like Tinder, but for my sketches.
And do you think that YouTube is dead then?
Yeah, I do. I really do a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's just me. I don't know. But it seems to me like... Well, though, saying this, sorry, I completely changed my mind. YouTube is, no one's going to be a millionaire on YouTube anymore. But that, to me, makes me think those people will leave YouTube and then it'll go back to kind of creativity being king, which is the optimistic view. Or it will die and every video we've ever made will be lost forever and all the views will have meant nothing.
That's the thing, all the things you really cared about, forgotten.
Yeah.
Like MySpace.
That's what happened in Vine. On Vine, I had like 35,000 followers. It was amazing. I was doing all these sketches. I was really chuffed.
Gone.
Gone forever.
That's why you've got to make films now. I was saying to my friend the other day, if you get an idea, you have to do it now.
Yeah.
Because suddenly, in 10 years' time, everyone might be using virtual reality and the whole... It becomes irrelevant.
Yeah, completely.
So you're forced into doing... to try and make your ideas.
Well, I was listening to Charlie Brooker was talking on Adam Buxton podcast, and he was saying how he can't understand how people write scripts and then put them in a drawer. Like, why would you even bother writing it? Where do you get the motivation from to write it unless you know you're going to make it? And that's completely how I feel. Like, I have to make the thing that I've written by any means necessary. And I'm not, like, I'm not a filmmaker as such, but I'm sure I'm just going to give it my best shot for this Santa film. See what happens.
Good luck.
Thank you. And best of luck with your film.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being in my film.
That's
right. We've just filmed... is it called B-roll? I mean, it's a footage of you reading the news in front of a green screen in your house, which I can use later on in the film.
Yeah, be good.
But great. Well, thanks very much, Ben.
That's all right. Thank you. This has been lovely.
Good luck with the filming. And it was a pleasure to speak to you.
Pleasure to speak to you.
And remember, listeners, stay hygienic.
Marek makes a movie. Marek makes a movie.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.